I know we'll take these requests with us, and we'll use them, use the list, I'm sure, throughout the week, and be praying for one another. You may have seen email on Monday. I plan on sending out an email with a short Good Friday devotional on Friday morning. And so if you'll be looking for that, and then of course we're looking forward to Easter Sunday. And again, the morning schedule will be the same, adding the breakfast first thing, and then no afternoon or evening service on Sunday. And then a quick update on the high-speed internet. Steve and I and Xfinity Comcast have been trying to coordinate, and we were not able to find a time that worked for all of us until next Thursday. So a week from tomorrow, we'll be in here, hopefully getting that install done. And so that's the latest on the high-speed internet. Hopefully that will be taken care of, and we won't have to run a cable too far or through too many small places. So we'll see how it works out. All right, Ephesians chapter number 6, and we have been looking at the armor of God. And our introduction the last few weeks, we started off in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." So we have spent the last several Wednesday nights looking at this passage by way of introduction. And then the last couple of Wednesdays, we have spent dealing specifically with the belt of truth. And we have seen the emphasis on putting on the whole armor of God. We've seen the emphasis on standing, withstanding, and how each piece of armor is necessary every single day, because every day brings its sufficiency of evil, of temptations. We need the whole armor of God every single day. Just like a soldier would never go out into battle without being fully prepared, fully armed, so we must go out into the spiritual battle fully armed with the armor of God. And again, that tension that we feel as we have a responsibility in our personal spiritual disciplines, as we talked about last week, the belt of truth represents that determination, that discipline, that devotion that we all must have in order to be spiritually victorious. And there's an element of us doing what God has already given us the strength to do, and yet at the same time we are depending upon the Lord. It is the armor of God. But there is a necessity of personal responsibility, of the determination, of the discipline, and of the devotion. "And no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." And Hebrews 12 and verse 1 talks about setting aside the weights and the sins that beset us, and to run with patience, with endurance, the race that is set before us. Both of those speak to the fact that the belt of truth cinches up any loose ends. Just as a runner will have a pair of shorts or a shirt that is not going to cause drag as they're running. They want to have everything tightly fitting so that there's no resistance, and so they can get a good speed. So a soldier who has to go off to boot camp, who has to separate himself or herself to the armed forces, to follow orders, to go wherever they tell you to go, to be prepared for whatever the battle may bring. So we as Christian soldiers in the Lord's army have to have that same determination, that same discipline, that same devotion. And then the element of truth that we have talked about the last couple of weeks. There is a divinely revealed body of truth, the Bible. And without that, Without the standard of God's word, then every person is left to themselves to decide what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false. And we have seen that in our culture firsthand. And the expressive individualism and everybody deciding what is true for himself or herself. And now we are even arguing about definitions of clear biological realities that we shouldn't even have to argue about the definitions of. But that's where we're at. We're in a post-postmodern world where every imagination, it seems, of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually, where every man is doing what is right in his own eyes. We have to keep bringing ourselves back, and we have to keep bringing our families back, and we have to keep witnessing to the unsaved. We have to keep teaching and sharing and preaching the truth of God's word. We cannot be fearful to put on the belt of truth every day and to go out in this world. We need that belt of truth for our own personal spiritual walk, but that truth is also what is going to be the light to a lost and dying world. We share then that truth to a lost and dying world, that they too can receive Christ, that they too can be saved, and they too can go out into spiritual battle. You think about it, the unsaved are going out with, they're going out into spiritual battle without any of this. They have none of the armor. They are going out into bloody conflict with no armor. And there's the rain. So hopefully it won't get too bad. Hopefully we won't have the storms and the thunder and lightning. But we are witnessing a culture that is trying to advance, okay, technologically, all these medical advances, but doing so without any standard of righteousness, of truth. And the world is going out marching into bloody conflict with no preparation, no spiritual armor. We would be foolish as believers to try to deal with this world without each piece of armor. The belt of truth is extremely important, as each element of armor is. We spent the time last week going through each of these 4 points. As we put on the belt of truth, yes, we believe the truth. We must believe the truth. We must hold to the inspiration and the authority of God's word, the full plenary inspiration, the doctrine of inspiration, the full plenary verbal inspiration. Now, that's a lot of words, and I had to study those very seriously in theology classes. But each of us, whether we've been in a theology class or not, should be able to defend the word of God, that it is the full, complete word of God, fully inspired, God-breathed, and we are not lacking anything. We're not searching after some missing books. We don't have to worry about some pseudo-Bible. I know there are wrong versions of the Bible that are out there that are either not translated well or they're translated wrongly, but we don't have any fear of lacking, of missing some book of the Bible. God has given us His truth, His divinely revealed Word of God in the 66 books of the Bible. And again, the Council of Nicaea, or whatever the council was that declared the canon, Genesis through Revelation, the 66 books, they were simply verifying what was already true about those books being the inspired Word of God. They were recognizing the fact that those were the inspired books. They did not make them inspired. That council didn't caused the inspiration of God to fall upon those books. They were simply recognizing what was already true about the books of the Bible as it was under attack, even in the early centuries of the church. We must not only believe the truth, but we must live the truth. And that means our lives are to be lives of truth. We must tell the truth. Our gospel witness, our preaching, and our teaching must always be according to the truth of the Word of God. And then we have to defend the truth. And it seems like the battle is daily, and the battle is strong. And we think of the pictures that we're seeing out of the Ukraine, but there's a spiritual battle that seems to have similar casualties right now, similar types of destruction. And we don't want the physical destruction of a physical war, but neither do we want the spiritual destruction of a spiritual war where believers are losing and are defeated. And we don't need any more casualties. We've seen enough churches and denominations capitulate and compromise. And it weakens the testimony of the Word of God. It weakens the ability of the truth to reach and to penetrate hearts. Not that the gospel isn't still powerful. Of course it is. But it weakens the testimony of the church and its effectiveness and its ability to reach lives. And we could go on, but there is a necessity to continue to stand up and to defend the truth. So then that brings us to the second piece of armor. I went too far. There we go. Ephesians 6:14, as we just read, the second part of the verse, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We are to put on the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, and then the breastplate. And this is a breastplate of righteousness. I think it's very obvious by the picture behind me, and by these pictures here, and by what we know about armor, it's very obvious that the breastplate has a very important role in the defense of the physical body. Without that breastplate, all the vital organs would be exposed. And it doesn't take but one spear or one sword, one knife into the vital organs, particularly the heart, and the soldier is dead, is gone, is a casualty in the battle. That is all very obvious. So the Roman soldier in the early days of the first century, as the Roman Empire, of course, had in the BC days. I'm not an expert on Roman history, and I forget when it went from a Roman Republic to a Roman Empire or whatever. I'm not up to speed on all of that. But we know that the Roman soldiers were the dominant army of the world in that day. And they were everywhere. Israel was used to seeing Roman soldiers around. They were an occupying force. So when Paul wrote these words, the believers in Ephesus would have been very, very understanding of what he was saying, because they would see Roman soldiers around. Much like we would probably see police or security, probably even more common than what we see where we go and where we drive and the places that we shop. We probably see a fair amount of security and police. They would probably see Roman soldiers even more than what we're used to with the police and the security. But the Roman soldier would wear a breastplate that many times was just a tough, sleeveless piece of leather. And so it would be a hard, shell-like breastplate that would be made of leather. Sometimes, if there was enough money, if there was enough resources, the soldiers could even be outfitted with a breastplate of bronze or iron. Now think about how heavy that would have been. If it were a bronze breastplate or an iron breastplate, can you imagine what it would be like wearing that? Now, some of you may have served in the armed forces, and maybe you had to do some hiking or some running with 40 or 50 pounds of weight in a backpack. Maybe you've done some training of some kind in some particular area, and you've had to carry a heavy item. But a Roman soldier would wear this heavy piece of leather, or possibly a bronze or iron breastplate, and they had to be strong. They had to have the physical ability to go into battle with this breastplate, and there was really no option. You don't go out into battle without the breastplate. You are exposing yourself to swords and spears and knives and fiery darts even, as there would be arrows that would be shot with fire on the tips, as they had, the enemy would have the tip of that arrow saturated with some sort of flammable liquid, and something on the tip that would be ignited, and they would shoot that arrow, and the Romans would do it, or the enemy would do it. And it was extremely important that that breastplate be on, that it have the right kind of material to protect oneself from the different kinds of weapons that would be shot. And it was also important that the breastplate be worn properly, that it fit tightly. And I understand from what research I did, they would sometimes even wear a undergarment, maybe another leather jacket, or sometimes they would wear, I was reading one article that talked about some sort of I don't know what the, like wool, or something that was soft that they would wear underneath. Because you can only imagine that pressing up against you, how tight that must be, and then you're in the field of battle, and it's hot, and you're perspiring because you're marching or you're fighting. That would get very heavy and cumbersome and very hot, but they would then even wear some sort of wool or fabric underneath just to help cushion it, because it would put so much pressure on their body. So they were dealing with a lot of material in order to protect themselves, but they knew how important it was. Sometimes they would even coat that or add to the breastplate animal horn material from animal horns, or pieces of hoof, of hooves from animals, to add some extra protection, to give it some more strength. It would cover their full torso, and then they, of course, would have a backplate as well that would then be fastened with leather straps or metal bands. And again, you would see different types of breastplates, but they would all pretty much fall into these categories, this kind of description, depending on probably the wealth of the soldier, his position, his rank, various things would come into play. But the breastplate was an extremely important element or piece of the armor. So how do we apply that? We'll just get started on this today, tonight, and we'll have to finish, Lord willing, next Wednesday. But what's the reason for the breastplate? Before we get into what the breastplate represents, we have to look at this for a minute. Because I just talked about the fiery darts, the fiery arrows that the enemy is shooting. As a believer, we are saved. We are positionally righteous. Okay? And that's one of the points that we'll get to, is the righteousness of the breastplate, the righteousness represented by the breastplate, is, first of all, the positional righteousness that we have in Christ, clothed in His righteousness. But what are we dealing with? What is the breastplate going to protect us against? The fiery darts of the wicked, of the enemy, take all kinds of different shapes and sizes. There's swords, there's spears, there's knives, there's the daggers. But there's the fiery darts, the arrows that are shot. And all of them are going to cause damage if we don't have the proper armor, if we don't have the breastplate on, if we're not secure in our righteous living, in our holy living, and close to the Lord, and depending upon Him. What are some of the darts that are going to come our way? What are some of the swords, the daggers, the sharp edges? Does doubt not plague us at times? Doubt is, I think, one of the biggest darts, fiery arrows, that afflicts Christians. It's something that is even true of one of the greatest Christians, John the Baptist, who even struggled in prison near the time of his death, of his beheading, where he even sent out messengers to ask Jesus one more time. I don't think that John the Baptist was a backslidden, reprobate, rebellious Christian. No, I think he was a strong believer. But even in the prison cell, after all that time spent there, knowing his death was imminent, he had some struggles, he had some doubts, he had some discouragement. And we deal with that. Satan loves to get us as believers discouraged, and doubting. And He loves to use that chink in our armor, doesn't He? He loves to find that weak spot. And doubt and discouragement can be some of the deadliest arrows in Satan's arsenal. And we as believers can only combat the doubts and the discouragement with the truths of the Word of God, with obedient living. Because what we'll do if we're not careful, those fiery darts will come our way. And if we're not wearing the proper breastplate, the obedient, righteous living, positionally, that won't change. We are a member of the family of God. We are a child of God, positionally in Christ. This is written to believers who are positionally in Christ. No fear of losing our salvation. The enemy, the devil, can shoot his arrow, and it can have a flammable liquid on it, and it could hit us, but that's not going to cause us to lose our salvation, because we are secure in the hand of Christ. No man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. But if we're not wearing the proper armor, the breastplate of righteousness, obedient, holy, righteous living, then that fiery arrow is going to come and it will penetrate. Or if it's not cinched on tightly, it will hit us in a weak place. Or if it's not properly armored, it can get that weak spot. And doubt and discouragement are a couple of the ways in which Satan loves to penetrate the armor and to get us to quit serving, quit being faithful, quit reading the Word of God, quit going to church, quit living obediently. It's a real issue that we as believers face. Fear. We know sin and all of its manifestations. There's many other topics of sin that we could deal with, but worry, anxiety, all of which can be fiery darts that, if we're not careful, if we're not fully armored, if we are not living holy, righteous lives, those darts will create a real problem in our Christian walk, will create defeat, and will cause us to begin to quit on the Lord, will cause us to respond in the wrong way, respond in carnal ways, become bitter, become angry, take things out on a wife, on a husband, or on the kids, begin to respond in anger, begin to disobey, begin to attack the people that are trying to help us. There are manifestations, and that all explains it reveals that our armor is not put on right or is not the right armor. What if we walked out into the battle and the breastplate that we have on is made of polyester cotton or 100% cotton? I don't like 100% cotton. My mom would not buy 100% cotton shirts growing up, because the first time you put it in the washing machine, it shrinks two sizes, right? My mom would, especially when it came to dress shirts, my mom would almost always buy a polyester cotton mix. But would there be any value in me going out into battle with this on? I mean, Denny, you worked for the police. You wore, I'm sure you wore some sort of security, body armor of some kind. Some sort of jacket to protect. We would be foolish, but again, the illustration we keep coming back to is that we as believers, we will walk out in spiritual battle with nothing but polyester cotton on for our armor. There's not the claiming of the promises of God. There's not the righteous, obedient living. There's not the adherence to the truths of God's Word. There's instead excuses and rationalization. And is it no wonder then that the fiery darts penetrate and afflict us and affect us? And we see way too many casualties. We see way too much compromise. We see way too many believers that are now no longer faithful. They're questioning. They're compromising. or they're just plain carnal. And it reveals that the belt of truth isn't being worn. It reveals that the breastplate of righteousness is not being worn. We'll have to stop there. We're out of time. Next week we'll come back to this and we'll look at three particular areas of righteousness that the breastplate represents that we need to have on in order to deal with those fiery darts and those swords and those spears, those daggers in spiritual warfare that we're up against. Let's close in prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your people. We thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of our church family. Thank you, Lord, for the truths of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God each and every day. Lord, we're in a wicked world. We're in an onslaught, it seems, of lies and temptations and just pure wickedness and evil. And Lord, it's so important that we have the belt of truth on, that we have the breastplate of righteousness, and that, Lord, when those doubts and fears and worries and temptations come, that we can be strong in the Lord and the power of your might to resist the devil. Lord, I pray that you will bless us this week. We look forward to Easter Sunday. Lord, we pray that we will have a good attendance and that, Lord, we will have a joyous time together worshiping you and rejoicing in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray for your blessings as we dismiss. Keep us safe as we travel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being faithful. Have a great rest of the week. We'll see you on Sunday. And don't forget, we need some help in the fellowship hall getting